Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 2, text number 25. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudeva in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the king of Bhoja. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although there is no difference between the Lord's pastimes of appearance and disappearance, the devotees of the Lord do not generally discuss the subject matter of his disappearance. Vidura inquired indirectly from Uddhava about the incident of the Lord's disappearance by asking him to relate Krishna Katha, or topics on the history of Lord Krishna. Thus Uddhava began the topics from the very beginning of his appearance as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison of Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas at Mathura. The Lord has no business in this world, but when he is so requested by devotees like Brahma, he descends on the earth for the welfare of the entire universe. This is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Vrittanaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskitam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That's one of the Janmashtami slokas. Just quick, I'll read it. To deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Om Agana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swa Padantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sajagatam Sahagana Raguna Tambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shishi Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vikamsa Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namaste Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatani Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Krishna. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vanshakalpa Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayascha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namah. Krishna's birth is actually one of the most bewildering and mysterious things about all of Krishna's pastimes. So in Queen Kunti, discusses that also, you know, that so many people give different reasons why Krishna took birth, right? So I'll look it up, but he says some say, you know, you came for this reason, some say for that reason, but they're all correct. And he doesn't actually take birth. We say janma, you know, janma sthan and janma bhumi and janmashtami, but he's not taking birth like we take birth, but he seems like he is. That's his, you know, his mercy. that he appears like an ordinary person. So that is one of the things that benefits the devotees for Trinaya Sadhunam, is that it's so charming that he's the baby. You know, he has all these baby pastimes. But it also bewilders the demons because they can't believe that God can be a baby. So that makes them more demoniac and more, you know, inimical. So, but those two purposes are always there in every avatar, to annihilate the demons and to please the devotees. And of course it goes together. When you please the devotees, the demons don't like it. And when you annihilate the demons, it's good for the devotees, because generally when Krishna's appearing, the demons have stopped, you know, yagyas, and they banned religion. Kamsa did that. I mean, it was like maybe worse than communism. Hiranyakasipu was killing cows, and so there could be no yagya, no ghee, no milk, no other cow dung, and all the things you need for yagya, for worshipping the deity. The cow is produced by the cow. So he's killing cows and killing Brahmins to do the yagya. And Kamsa, you know, they couldn't light the sacrificial fire. You know, the police were everywhere. So Kunti is saying, you descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service. They're the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can women know you perfectly? So she's saying that even these great speculators and philosophers, they can't understand Krishna, so how can we understand? To know perfectly. But then actually she does know perfectly, because she knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she says, you're invisible to the foolish observer. Just like an actor can't be recognized sometimes. Very good actors, you know, you wonder who it is. Well, Lord Chaitanya was such a good actor that when he was acting that drama, and he was the goddess of fortune, Lord Chaitanya himself, and Mother Sachi was wondering, who is it that's playing the goddess of fortune? Even Lord Chaitanya was 7 feet tall, and his shoulders are, you know, as wide as his, you know, like a huge body. Nobody could recognize him because he's such a good actor. So Krishna also, the fools can't recognize. Only a few very advanced devotees can really recognize Krishna even when he's present. And what to speak of now, you know, when people are so bewildered, you know, by so many things. They don't even care about philosophy, even trying to. She says, you become the son of Vasudeva and the pleasure of Devaki and the boy of Nanda and the other coward men, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. It's a nice verse. Right? You know that one? Krishnaya Vasudevasya. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandanaya cha. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Govindaya Namo Namaha. Easy one. Some are very easy to remember. You should practice. So this Kunti is explaining, you know, about Krishna in so many ways. She understands him like really well. But she's humble and she's thinking, you know, how can we understand? And then she goes on to explain so much about Krishna. And just getting to her. You know, first, how can you approach Krishna? Another very important verse. Janmaskarya Shuti Shibiridamana Madatkuman. Naivahart Yapi Artum Vai Twama Kinshina Gochara. You can be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. Those who are on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage. great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So that is also misunderstood, like I was saying last night, the idea of detachment, renunciation. It doesn't mean, like somebody like Yudhisthira or Pariksit, or we have in our movement many very rich men, but they can approach Krishna with sincere feeling because they know that that's not the goal of life, to have money. But the people who are mad after it, just trying to get these things, they cannot understand Krishna. In fact, it says that this madness for wealth, Bhagavatam says that's the worst impediment to, you know, spiritual progress. So people have to be materially exhausted. They have to know that, okay, you know, and we've all probably come to that point, sometimes maybe up and down, but okay, you know, nothing's really working. And we can see, if we're fortunate, like Ambarish Prabhu, he was saying, that he came to Mayapur for his mother's ashes, and he was saying his mother taught him, you know, inspired him for spiritual life. And then he said, not because she was spiritual, but because she was so miserable. She's one of the richest women in the world, you know, famous, popular, can have anything, houses all over the world, and unlimited money. And she was completely miserable, drunkard. So he said, you know, by that he learned, that's not going to make you happy. But he said he always wondered, what am I doing in this family? You know, because everyone else was mad after increasing the business, getting more and more money, even though they had so much already. And he never cared about it from childhood. But so we learn like that by seeing others, if we're fortunate, that, you know, they don't get happy by all, they get more frustrated. So then someone can approach Krishna, offer it when he realizes everything belongs to Krishna and all this is temporary and doesn't have any ultimate value. He can have it, you know, in his name. Other people can think it's his, but he knows it's not mine, and it's all could be gone in a second, and it will definitely be gone. When I was a child, they would always teach us, you can't take it with you. But at the same time, they'd say, you have to work hard to get it. But you can't take it with you. And when you die, you can't take it with you. You can't come back in your next life and go to the Switzerland and to the bank and say, I have this money from my past life. Please give it to me. You don't remember, right? So that's how Switzerland got rich, because people have their illegal money, or even if it's legal, they don't want people to know about it. So they put it there, and the accounts have no name, they just have numbers. They don't tell anybody, and then they die, and the bank gets it. So then, here's what she says. No one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are as so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. So moham sarvabhusheichu name dvaishtos dina priyaha. Right? Ye bhajanti tumam bhakta maite te shachapyaha. What's the last line? Anyway, Krishna says, I'm not envious of anyone. Samoham sarva, I'm equal to everyone, and I'm not envious, so I don't hate anyone. But if someone worships me with devotion, then I give them some favor. So some people think, well, that's contradictory, that's not fair. Krishna favors devotees. But he's favoring everybody, he gives them what they want. If someone wants to fight Krishna, he'll fight them. If they want to love Krishna and they offer love to Krishna, he'll reciprocate. So he's actually being equal to everyone. So moham sarva bhuteshu. So he has no specific object of favor. Like he says, my own son, if he misbehaves, he'll punish him just like anyone else. In fact, he did with that Bhomasura, was it? It was actually Krishna's son that was impregnated when he picked up the earth as Varaha, but he became demoniac and Krishna killed him. And if a demon does something good, he would. So people only imagine that Krishna is partial. He's not really partial. He's completely fair to everyone. He's just reciprocating whatever we give him, we get back. And I think if we look at our life, we see how that works. And if we're really surrendering and really trying to please Krishna, things go pretty good. And when we forget that and we think, well, I'm going to do it this way or that way, then so many obstacles come. So it's bewildering that he works although he's inactive. That question I used to get a lot, especially in Japan, the verse in the fourth chapter where it says, we see action in inaction, and inaction in action. Follow? It's hard to get it right, but you know, by saying it, you know, without the spaces. But inaction, one word, and then inaction. Inaction, one word means nothing, no activity. And inaction means doing something. So Krishna works, although he's inactive. He takes birth, though he's a vital force and he's unborn. He's Aja. He's not born, but he seems to take birth. Some of his incarnations, he takes birth. Krishna, Rama, Vamana. But many, he doesn't take birth. He just, all of a sudden, he's there. And I was hearing about Lord Nrisingadev, you know, that he appears in many different millenniums, and it's not always from the pillar. It's come different ways. He just shows up, and he's gone very quickly also. He just comes in like, you know, the white knight or something, and kills a demon and leaves. Varaha came out from the nose of Brahma. I guess you could call that birth. But Matsya, he was just there. There's no explanation of where he came from. The tortoise also is there. So that's Krishna. He can appear to take birth. And that's especially bewildering for the demons. And they like that. Oh, he can't be God, you know, he took birth. He has a mother and father. They can't understand. And then he descends amongst animals, sages, aquatics. This is bewildering. And you were afraid of your mother. We all are familiar with that from last month. And even though fear personified it, that's also bewildering. Kamsa was deadly afraid of Krishna as a baby, but Krishna is afraid of his mother with a little stick. Right? So there's no material explanation for these things. How can Krishna, you know, be like that? He's the biggest and he's the smallest. He's inside of everything. He's outside of everything. That's why we have a Chinchabhedabheda Tattva. And Jiva Goswami said, unless one accepts the inconceivable potency of the Lord, then he can never understand. But the scientists will say, when you say it's inconceivable, that means you don't know. Which is true, because no one can know Krishna. But they think, you know, you have to measure. You have to be able to measure and put away, you know, so they don't like to talk about the mind even, but to speak of the soul, because they can't capture the mind. Like, you know, there's some idea we think the mind is just in the brain, but the mind is everywhere. It pervades the entire universe. As soon as we think of anything, the mind is there. Not just some little thing inside the brain somewhere, like a hard disk or something. You know, it's much beyond that. Maybe it's something like, you know, like the computer in the beginning, it was just whatever you have inside your computer, not even inside the computer, whatever you have on a floppy drive or something. Now it's like, yeah, it's unlimited internet. Your computer is everywhere. We're everywhere here in the world. You know, you can tap into almost anything, any newspaper you want. You know, not only today's newspaper, you can get 100 years old issue back, New York Times or something, and all that. Everything is there. But the mind is much more, and what to speak of the supersoul. But it should give us some understanding that if just a little thing like this can do that, then what to speak of Krishna? How he can be everywhere and know everything. So here's where she starts to explain, like this verse we were reading. Some say the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. And others say he's born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family, just like sandalwood appears in the Malaya Hills. So different people say different reasons. Others say that since Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you've taken birth as their son. That's the verse we read, right? That's exactly the verse from the Bhagavatam. Being prayed for by Brahma and for the welfare of the earth, he was begotten by Vasudeva and Devaki. Brahma prayed also, Bhumi prayed, you know, because there were too many demons. The demigods were too disturbed, so they're asking Krishna to take birth. So you are unborn, yet you take birth for the welfare to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, so you appeared. So that's what Uddhava was saying. You know, that's the verse we just read. That's that one thing about the Bhagavatam. The more we go back and forth and cross-reference, we see the consistency, which is evidence of the authorized verity, is it? That it's correct, because it, although there's seemingly confusion, we find the same things are throughout all the Puranas, all the Bhagavatam, all the Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Everybody teaches the same thing. Others say that you appeared for rejuvenating the devotional service of hearing and remembering, worshipping and so on, so the conditioned soul suffering from the material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So even Krishna appeared for that reason. For that's what devotees think, you know, who are practicing. Krishna appeared to help revive it, and that was according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what Krishna was thinking. Well, I haven't appeared, you know, haven't shown my Goloka pastimes for a long time. So people are forgetting about them. So I'll appear and, you know, bring this Goloka to earth and make it visible, although it's always there. Make it visible so everybody can see and everybody can get inspired that they want to join it. They want to be there. They want to hear about Krishna. So he did, you know, he's coming to help the conditioned soul. That's Krishna. Whatever he does is Pratanaya Sadhanam. So those who continuously hear, chant, Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadhava, and repeat your activities or take pleasure in others doing it, see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So that, you know, she's also, it's interesting. So many reasons, but see, Krishna has described one of his qualities, a genius. So whatever he does has many purposes. By one action, he accomplishes many things. So that's Krishna. So his appearance has, all these things are true. That he appears for so many reasons for so many people. But it's all for the benefit of everybody. Even for the demons he's killing, it's for their own benefit. They get liberated. They get the same thing that yogis, Mayavadi yogis that meditate for a huge amount of years and do great tapasya get. The demons get that same liberation just by being killed by Krishna. Because they're thinking of Krishna all the time. Right? It's just in an inimical way. And they die seeing Krishna. But they don't realize, you know, to worship him, generally. Because like Kamsa, I don't know, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they thought, you know, he had got all his power by tapasya. So he was thinking, Ramachandra just must have done more tapasya. you have to come back and try again, you know, to get more power. Couldn't accept that he's the source of all the power. That whatever he got, benedictions from all the different demigods, didn't really come from Krishna. So this is what we want to, you know, hear more and more about Krishna. Associate with devotees who talk about Krishna and want to serve Krishna. And try to get others also. But it's saying that even people who like to hear about Krishna or appreciate others, you know, talking and hearing about Krishna, everybody benefits. But Lord Chaitanya gave us a special mercy to, you know, get out and share it, give it to everybody. In the age of Kali, people are most degraded. They don't know what, you know, they're out, they have no idea why they're existing. The Prabhupada said we have to teach them that there is a goal of life, and then and when they realize that there should be a goal, then teach them what it is. Because most people, they, if you ask them what is your goal in life, they just get bewildered. I used to ask a lot of Japanese young people, they just, what? Goal in life? Maybe they had a goal for today, you know, for a few days. And then some people, okay, I'm going to graduate. Why do you want to graduate from high school so I can go to college? Why do you want to go to college so I can get a better job? Why do you want to get a better job so I can get money? Why do you want money, right? But in Rana Sen in Bangladesh, he went all the way up, and finally he said, well, I want to be happy. You know? So all the thing he's doing is trying to become happy. John Lennon has a famous quote. He said his mother taught him that happiness is the purpose of life or something. So when he was in school, they gave some assignment about, you know, what do you want to do with your life? And he said, happiness. The teacher said, I don't think you understand the assignment. He said, I don't think you understand the happiness. Because the ultimate goal, some people want expect the happiness to come out of a bottle. Some people expect it to come out of a luxurious house in Vrindavan. Some people expect it to come out of, you know, a beautiful wife or having lots of children or a big car or a cigarette. You know, everybody has a different idea. But whatever they're doing, it, you know, some people, their only goal is to get the next cigarette. Drug addict, that's all their goal is, just to get the next hit. You know, nothing else. Many people, it's just for the next meal. You know, other people may have some, you know, retirement plan. That's a big thing for people with money. You know, their retirement fund, and they meditate on where they're going to end up. In the London airport, they had the bank, you know, had a advertisement. So they had big pictures all along the walkway. It said, what your 1 million or so many pounds can do for you. So, you know, you can buy a nice countryside house in Thailand. And you can buy, you know, different countries what you can get. Or you can buy one parking space in the middle of London. So that people think, okay, I'll save my money and I'll, you know, I'll, right? And many Indians that are working outside of India, they, you know, they already bought their house in Bombay, in India somewhere. They have a goal to go back to India, right? And so many bought their house in Vrindavan. But they have some goal, but it's mainly within this life. Devotees have a higher goal. We want to love Krishna. We don't even care where we are or where we go. We should be. That's the ideal thing. So the more we hear about Krishna, we wake up and we can experience a transcendental pleasure. We get, you know, Krishna gives us a hint every once in a while. Gives us something in a big kirtan or, you know, really good prasadam or, you know, sometimes just reading Bhagavatam. You know, we really understand. And gradually we get more and more purified. So everything can be all right. And even to purify the water, you see, we have this machine with, what, 3 or 4 tanks? It
different things has to go through, and still we don't know what's coming out. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't clean the thing enough, then you get worse water. So, but to speak of purifying our mind, which is so contaminated and heavy, flowing in. But if one is hearing regularly about Krishna and chanting regularly, then you'll be protected. And the pure Krishna takes over the cleaning process. So Krishnaya Vasudevasya Devaki Nandananaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. A little bit of everything there. Alright, any question? Comment? Anybody knows why Krishna appeared? You have the whole thing with Lord Chaitanya also. You know, the external reasons and the internal reasons, but they all go together. It's similar. Because he came... Okay, the internal reason is Lord Chaitanya came to... He experienced Radharani's love for Krishna. So he did that, but in the process of doing that, he started the Sankirtan movement, which was the Dharma for the age, which is, he came to do that also. But that was the result of, his main reason. But he wanted to do both. And as Jayapataka Maharaj was explaining from Chaitanya Mangal, that in Dwarka, Rukmini was, she told Krishna this, you don't know everything. You're all knowing. But he said, what do you mean? What is there that I don't know? She said, you don't understand how your devotees love you, how they feel. I can feel, I can understand. She said, Radharani understands. You don't understand. And that's when he decided to take that birth as Lord Chaitanya. So he understand it. But in the process, he was chanting all the time, Hare Krishna, in ecstatic separation, and that way the Sankirtan movement started and spread all over. And we're very fortunate we can possibly understand the good fortune to be connected. The scripture evidence, it says like, one is like if there's a board floating in the river and it has a little hole in it, and a turtle sticks his head up through the hole or something. That's so likely that we come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's movement and can actually take part in it. Even to just see the devotees, like somebody just, but for those who can actually join in and take part and fully intimately take part by the Harinam Sankirtan book distribution, those things are like intimate service of being with Lord Nityananda. It's a special gift. And we've seen some days that we don't appreciate it and take it for granted or something, and get puffed up about it, and Krishna takes away that privilege. They have to work hard to risk it. Devotees, even if they have to so-called work hard, it's not hard. It seems easy. Okay? Is that it? Any questions? No? All right, we have time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tie back to Vrinda ki jai.